Welcome to our site as we continue in our series, Meandering Through the Gospel According to Matthew. This morning we're in Matthew chapter 8, and I read to you from Matthew chapter 8, the first three verses. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cured of his leprosy. During the course of my ministry, I've had the privilege of meeting some outstanding people. One of the greatest was Dr. Paul Brand, dedicated doctor, researcher, and missionary, a world authority on Hansen's disease, leprosy. For years it was thought that a rotting infection caused the horrible outward deformities of the leper, but Paul Brand and others proved that the disfigurements were solely because of the warning system that had disappeared, especially in the extremities of the body, but also in the ears and eyes and nose. Hands insensitive to heat can be so damaged that they eventually become stumps. Dr. Brand called leprosy a painless hell. Jesus had finished delivering what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He has described the beautiful attitudes of the true children of God, the character or characteristics of the authentic disciple who is poor in spirit, grieves over all that is offensive to God, humble, pursuing righteousness, merciful, pure in heart. Now the Sermon on the Mount becomes, as Dr. Kent Hughes puts it, the Sermon on the Move. Look again at these verses. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately he was healed. The lot of the leper in those days is summed up in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of his face, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. We can hardly imagine the humiliation and isolation of a leper's life, says Dr. Kent Hughes. He was ostracized from society, had to assume a disheveled appearance, and then there was the ultimate degradation, having to cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" whenever he came in range of the normal population. Lepers were typically beggars. There was little else they could do. By Jesus' time, rabbinical teaching had made matters even worse with absurd restrictions. If a leper even stuck his head inside a house, it was pronounced unclean. It was illegal to greet a leper. Lepers had to remain at least 100 cubits away if they were upwind, and 4 cubits if downwind. Josephus, the famous Jewish historian, summed it up saying that lepers were treated, I quote, as if they were, in effect, dead men. In addition to this, it was thought that those who had leprosy had contracted it because of some personal sin. People jumped to this erroneous conclusion because in past history, such people as Miriam, mentioned in Numbers 12, verses 6 to 10, Uzziah, mentioned in 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 19, Gehazi, mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 25 to 27, had been judged, you remember, with leprosy. The lot of a leper in Christ's time was just as horrible. A leper was sick and rotting, with no hope of healing. Because of his contamination, he was barred from society and made to cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" And though there was some reason for this, Leprosy was at that time considered to be terribly contagious, though it is not. This did nothing to palliate lepers' misery. The unreasonable structures of the rabbis and the strictures that they put upon these people, the assumption that lepers were great sinners, made the situation unbearable. However, the plight of the leper illustrated the effects of sin, though the leper was actually not more sinful than anyone else. R.C. Trench, the great Greek scholar and inspiration for and a first editor of the monumental Oxford English Dictionary, recognized this, saying that though the leper was not worse or guiltier than his fellow Jews, nevertheless he was a parable of sin, an outward and visible sign of innermost spiritual corruption. The leper is a physical illustration of the heart of every human being. If for a moment we could see a visible incarnation of ourselves, apart from the cleansing work of Christ, we would see ourselves as the walking dead, forms dead in their trespasses and sins, forms trying to cover themselves with filthy rags of their own efforts at righteousness. Christ meeting this leper as Jesus descended from the mount was, of course, no chance encounter. It was divinely choreographed. Try to picture the scene in your mind's eye. Jesus had been speaking directly to his disciples on the hillside, but a massive crowd had gathered by the time he descended. Now they are being startled by a leper, his body mutilated from hand to foot, foul and rotting. And he is crying out, "Unclean! Unclean!" as he steadily makes his way to Jesus. It is shocking. It is embarrassing. It is an unsolicited nuisance. People fall back and let him by, petrified of touching him. But he just keeps coming and keeps shouting, "Unclean! Unclean!" until he falls at the feet of Jesus. What an illustration of what it takes to be made whole again by the touch of Jesus. The first step anyone has to take in coming to Jesus for salvation, to be made whole again, is to own up to the truth of who we are and what we are. The poor leper not only said he was unclean, he knew he was. In fact, he knew that his condition was hopeless unless Jesus made him whole again. There was nothing he could do to help himself. He has become a living demonstration of the first beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the second beatitude, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And the third beatitude, "Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth." And the fourth beatitude, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." For years this leper had mourned his condition. His pitiful refrain, "Unclean," had shaped his whole psyche. There was nothing within him that would commend him to God. In actual fact, he was in just the right condition to be the recipient of the grace of God. You see, God does not come to the self-sufficient. He comes to the bankrupt in spirit. He comes to us when we mourn over our lost and depraved condition. Had this leper perhaps been in earshot of Jesus' beatitudes, and they struck hope into his heart for the first time in his life? Friend, better to be a leper, acknowledging your spiritual poverty before God, and mourning over your sinfulness, and reaching out for the mercy of Jesus, than to be a proud and self-sufficient Pharisee who feels no need of a Savior. Step number one into wholeness and into the kingdom of God. Repent. Like the prodigal in the far country, there, near the pigsty, far, far away from home, he came to his senses. He changed his mind. He changed his mind about himself, his life, his spiritual condition. And he changed his direction and made his way back to his Father in contrition. Step number two, yield in submission to the only one who can restore your broken relationship with God and make you whole again. Now the leper lay prostrate before the feet of Jesus. What a picture. He placed every hope he had for time and eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew the priests and the rabbis couldn't help him. He knew the synagogue and the temple couldn't help him, because he wasn't even allowed in there. He knew that the best physicians in the land couldn't help him. He knew Christ alone could meet him at the point of his need. When you come to Christ, you have to recognize that he is your only hope. No one else can forgive your debt of sin. No one else can restore your broken relationship with God. No one else can heal you completely and eternally. Only Jesus can do that. So step number one, repent. Step number two, surrender the throne of your life to King Jesus. And step number three, you have to place your trust in Jesus. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. You have to place the whole weight of your trust in the Lord Jesus, in who he is and what he has done for you in his death and resurrection. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Salvation, being made whole again, is by faith. The leper demonstrated remarkable faith. Perhaps he had just heard others talking about some of Jesus' miracles. Perhaps he had witnessed one of them from afar. However he got there, he had come to the conviction that Christ was omnipotent, all-powerful, that nothing was too hard for the Lord Jesus, that all things were possible for him. With his raspy voice, he cried out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Many people believe Jesus can heal and save others. They just don't believe Jesus can save them. Have you come to the place with this leper where you can say, "Lord, I believe you can save me. I not only believe you can save others, I now believe that you can save me. Now." Don't ever think that you're beyond God's grace. What a lesson the leper has for us today. If you want Jesus to make you whole again, first recognize your condition of dire need before God. Then yield yourself to him in reverence and faith, and receive the grace that he will freely bestow. No one had ever looked at this leper as Jesus did, moved with compassion. Jesus knew him through and through, knew and felt his pain. And in that sublime moment of encounter, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Could the man even remember when last a non-leprous hand touched him? Jesus could, of course, just have spoken the word and the man would have been healed. But not the Jesus we worship and adore. He placed his loving hand firmly on the leper, so the leper could feel his sympathy, feel his understanding, feel his love. The onlookers were appalled. The disciples were shocked. By touching the leper, they all knew Jesus was willing to render himself unclean. But isn't this just what the incarnation is all about, dear friend? God took upon himself our human flesh. Then he took upon himself our disease of sin when he died on the cross in Jesus, so that we could be healed and receive his cleanliness. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made him to be sin who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What a sight the leper made. 1 minute hideous, ugly, deformed, and repulsive. The next, a beautiful human being. The face, the eyebrows, the eyelashes, the hands and the feet, the body, instantly restored. No wonder it was often said, Jesus does all things well. No doubt the leper jumped up and shouted, I'm clean, I'm clean, I'm clean. Well, that's what it takes when we experience the touch of Jesus, and that's what it's like when we do. In an instant, our sins are washed away. We are set free. The burden we have carried for a lifetime is rolled away. Allow me to close with a poem that I wrote about 3 years ago, which I gave the same title as our message today, The Touch of Jesus. The Bible tells a beautiful story of lives that didn't amount to much until they met the Lord Jesus and were transformed by his marvelous touch. To be touched by the hand of Jesus is to be blessed and made wondrously whole. Why, every person the Master touched was renewed in body and soul. He encountered a helpless leper, disfigured and in utter disdain. But the hand of Jesus touched him, and he was made whole again. No longer an outcast, considered unclean, unable to assemble and pray, when the hand of Jesus touched him, with joy he went on his way. He ascended the steps of the temple to worship and praise his Lord, and the priests and the people there marveled, for the leper was fully restored. Jesus entered the home of Peter, whose mother-in-law was sick as could be. With compassion the Savior touched her, while from the fever she was instantly free. Touched by the hand of Yeshua, she rose up to serve her new guest. Her son and the rabbi were famished, but the meal she served was the best. She could hardly wait to tell all her friends, a humble but hard-working band, that the fever had left her the moment she was touched by the Master's hand. One day in the town of Bethsaida, some people brought Christ a blind man. They knelt down begging and pleading, Rabbi, help our friend if you can. Jesus moistened his eyes and touched him with sympathy deep and profound. He could see people, only not clearly, like trees they were walking around. So Jesus put his hand on his eyes again, and now his vision was clear, and who would blame the man once blind? He told people far and near. On a certain occasion, a funeral procession passed right by the Savior's side. A widow with her loved ones were wailing with grief because her only son had died. When Jesus saw her, he was filled with compassion and said, Dear woman, don't cry. He stopped the procession and touched the lad as the curious crowd stood by. At his command, the dead man sat up, alive and well as could be. The people praised God for his awesome power, and the widow was filled with glee. Every person Jesus touched was changed by the power of his love. The leper was cleansed, the sick woman healed, and the lad given life from above. The good news for us is that nothing has changed. The Lord Jesus is ever the same. You may come to him now and experience his touch. Receive grace and new life through his name. All things are possible to our Redeemer and King. On his word you must take your stand, because still today those who call on him are touched by the Master's hand. God bless you. Let us pray. We thank you today, our Father, that the touch of Jesus has not lost its ancient power. And we thank you that the way into the grace of God and into the full love of Jesus is just the same today as it was 2,000 years ago when this poor leper cast his life, his all, at the feet of the Lord Jesus and found mercy, forgiveness, healing, and wholeness once again. God grant that we too may put our trust wholly and solely in the Lord Jesus and experience his touch today at the very point of our need, whatever that need may be. We pray very especially for those who suffer illness, and those who suffer grief, hardship and loss because of the COVID-19 virus. And once again we ask that all over the world you would be moving in grace and mercy to touch the lives of those who need the Lord Jesus and his saving mercy. Hear us, we pray, as we commit our lives into your hands. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
My soul.